is happening, fellow fantasy GMs? I am JJ Wang. He is the bearded one, DJ Dove. And with our powers combined, we are the Fantasy Couriers.
Well, here we go. We are in rookie draft season. Actually, while we're doing this, JJ Wang and I are starting our slow auction draft. If you haven't done it, draft day Matt down there is like, I will never do it. It's got to be quick, up and over. This is my favorite kind because you can mess with people and then lots of conversation happens during. It's frustrating as I'll get up because if you're JJ Wang, you get snaked right at the end and you end up leaving the draft with $7,000. If you want to find out about that, go back to last year's podcast about this time. But today we went through last week, did a mock draft, two-round mock draft, and apologies for dragging my tail this week. I did not get that posted, but we did it. If you want to go hear it, go listen to it. My kids had dress rehearsal all week. They've been at play practice. They're at play practice now. We're recording early, so if anything happens over the weekend, yep, that's my fault because my kids have they're in the Wizard of Oz doing that all weekend. But, you know, I'm sure JJ Wang's going to be traveling with soccer or coaching soccer, I think, or something crazy coming up.
Yeah, I'm actually refereeing this weekend, but there's a possibility I might be a coach. I mean, who knows? Crazier things have happened.
Well, Zebra, it's going to rain, so you might get to...
Yes.
You might be okay. But today we do have a returning guest. I mean, the only other man I know that has great taste in football. If you're watching us on video, he's wearing his Miami Dolphins hat. So we know he's another glutton for punishment. Fins up. Go Fins. But this is JJ Wang's cousin. Every time we'll have to give him a new name today. He is Draft Day Matt. JJ Wang was excited to have him on, but I'm going to let JJ Wang conduct this interview. It's a special kind of interview. We've never had a on-the-scene reporter, which is what Draft Day Matt is going to serve for us. So JJ Wang, take it away.
Yes, I'll do my best here. So, of course, you are the first person I've known that have attended the draft, so I do have a few questions. You know, I won't get too personal, but first thing I'd like to know is I was watching Pat McAfee a lot. Was you able to get to see his camera view from behind? Did you get around into any of that, or was that not available?
Yeah, so probably didn't get into camera view, just to say, I mean, there was a shit of people there, right? Like, I think they said like 275,000 was the end number, but I could throw a football to Pat. Like, early in the day, we got down to the draft headquarters around, like, 2 p.m., right? And so we were walking around. It was packed. Everything had a line. But as we were walking around, we walked past. It was like a three-story media setup. And so all the big dogs were in there. Pat was on the second floor, right? And so we saw his whole crew all day, right, just up there getting ready. So that was pretty cool. And then you could get really close to the stage at like 3-4 o'clock. But after that, you know, you start to get pushed back a little bit. There was a lot of people. It was rough. I'm not even going to lie. Like, we were down there, like I said, from about 2 to midnight. So about 10 hours. And it was all on your feet. Right. And so one thing I will say that I did have was, I stood in line for about an hour and 20 minutes for Mama's Kitchen, right? Which is M&M's, you know, restaurant in Detroit, right? So that was pretty good. But the experience was really cool. This hat came from there, right? So legit draft day, Dolphins cap from the draft. But there was a line for everything, man. And you know what made me think of is like, you know, when the Caps won the Stanley Cup, right? And I went and wanted to take a picture with the cup. I had to wait like 9 hours in line to touch the cup, right? But it's like when you go to a city that's not used to like winning or hosting events like this because they've sucked for so long in every sport for mostly like the last 30 years. It was kind of chaotic in a way, you know? So
I feel like they had to be pretty prepared. So, I mean, what was like, so if you had to go to the bathroom, I mean, did you have to plan your bathroom trip like 20 minutes? Like, I feel like I got to go to the bathroom. Let me go stand in line now because it's going to be that long. Yeah. Or I mean, it was, because that's like,
yeah. Well, yeah, and you had to walk. It wasn't like there was a bathroom right around the corner, right? So it was a good distance walk because they had a bunch of blocks blocked off for the draft, right? And so, yeah, like I started drinking, right? Like, yeah, I'm gonna get drunk, right? But then I started having to pee a lot, right? And when I started having to piss a lot, like it was all bad because, you would feel it, right? And then you're like, all right, I gotta go now because, by the time it happens, I'm gonna have to go real bad. So it was like, it was like it reminded me like a festival concert type of atmosphere.
I wanted to ask you about that. I know you've been to Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
How's it like people wise? Was it like just as crowded, or was, is it?
Okay, well, so in like to compare the two, Bonnaroo probably when I was there had about 80 to 90,000 people. This had 275, and it was like, dude, it was insane. Like at one point, when the draft was getting ready to start, they brought cops in with horses, right? And they were blocking off a part of the street. So if you were not in the right area of the draft, they wouldn't allow you up to the stage because there were so many people. It was a safety concern. And so it was like riot cops coming in, man, because people were pissed. Like that's the part you don't see on TV, right? Like it kind of got kind of crazy for a second. That was Thursday night, right? And so that was like round one, it was insane.
So, were you able, when you got your hotel, how far did you have to walk, or was you able to Uber in? I feel like, of course, you'd probably get as close as you can. I imagine with that many people,
Yeah.
might be really hard to get a hotel that close.
Yeah, so we stayed on kind of the outskirts. It was about like 20 minutes away, on the outside. So like if you're talking like DC, probably like Vienna or something like that. And we stayed at an Airbnb. And my Patch, Kyle Patch, who we they he plays fantasy. His family lives there, so we were able to hang out with them, and then we kind of all went in. But interesting enough, after since talking about Uber, we got down there with an Uber, normal, like I don't know, it was like 30 or 40 bucks, right? But leaving, it was $160. $160. I've been to a lot of places, to a lot of big events, at a lot of different places. That was the most I've ever seen an Uber in my entire life. Ever.
I can imagine those guys are just banking. Like, they had to be there with that many people. They had to be in such a high demand. They could charge whatever they want if you want to get home, right?
Yeah, man. It was that part was crazy. So we went back down. We went back down. Friday, and I thought there would be less people, right? Because I thought, round one buzz, because there was so many Detroit fans, right? All the locals. If you looked out in the crowd, you could probably see, right? All the blue and gray, and right. And then of course the guys that went with us, he Patches a Lions fan, and the other guy that went with us and stuck it out for 10 hours. There's only three of us. He was a Buffalo fan, right? So, we got to like about pick 16, right? And it starts to slow down a lot, right? When you're watching it on TV, and you have other things that occupy you, right? While you're watching it, you have commercials, right? And you don't have commercials when you're standing there, right? And so I sent you that video of like kind of what they do in the lead up to the pick, and it was long, man. It was tough. Like the back of my legs and my back hurt so bad from standing there for so long. And it was like a long concert, man. It was like watching a festival, a long 3 hour, set for somebody and just having to stand in the pit, right? That's what it was like. And the guy we wanted to stay for Detroit's and Buffalo's pick, but Detroit ended up trading not too far down. And then Buffalo traded out, so thank God we didn't stay to watch their pick because they didn't even pick that night, right? So they picked first the next day, and we went down there the next day, and it was just as crazy. We didn't stay as long, but there was a line for everything. Starting at like noon to midnight, it was insanity. and there was just a line for everything, food, bathrooms. They had guys come down and sign like local, like Gibbs and Laporta and stuff. Dude, I mean, it was people waited hours to see those guys.
Yeah, so before we jump into these teams, anything, Dub, do you got anything you'd like to ask him or that you thought?
I'm more curious, what motivated you to just go to this draft, especially being a Finns fan, knowing that our pick was sort of late. Ours was going to be kind of a boy, like it wasn't like an exciting, like we knew we were taking meat and potatoes this year,
Yeah.
like what made you just jump on the go to Detroit? I was telling
Yeah,
Dave.
well, it kind of fell into play. We've been talking about it for probably over a year because last year, Kyle, who I was talking about earlier, my friend, he, with his family being in Detroit, he goes every year, a couple times a year, and we were like, hey, he's like, hey, the draft is in Detroit next year, we should go. And I'm like, yeah, we should. I'm like, at least the Dolphins have a number one pick, right?
Yeah.
Like last year they didn't have one, right? So anytime they don't have one, it's out of the question because like I was talking about, it's a sacrifice to stand there for a while, man. I mean, it's no joke. Like everybody thinks, oh, I'm gonna go to the draft and it's gonna be really cool and I'm gonna be next to the stage. That doesn't happen. That's not the way it works. And so like we planned it for that long, and knowing they had a first round pick, I was like, maybe this is the year. It worked out. It was actually really cool. Next year's in Green Bay, so I'm definitely not going there. It was kind of good timing.
And was Terrion Arnold the greatest guy to see get picked? Because he was Detroit and just he's Terrion Arnold and he's really cool.
Yeah, man. I mean, they were going nuts when they picked him, right? Like you were walking by. And they really like the pick, obviously. And I think honestly they need help there anyway a lot always. And so I think, it's a smart pick for them, especially at that point of the draft, right? And so lately they've been pretty on point with their draft pick. So we'll see how it goes.
It's a fun team. So yeah, that's pretty exciting. I told JJ Wang, I was like, or maybe I told my wife, I don't know. I was like, if it comes to DC, I might consider going there, but I'm not as dedicated as you. I don't think I'd want to go to Detroit and stand with 250,000 people. I'm kind of lazy.
Would you do it again?
No. So like
No. There we go.
so like it's rough, man. I felt it for a couple of days, right? Like it was like a body hangover, right? Because I couldn't really get that drunk. Because once you get into the crowd when the draft happens, and if you got to use the bathroom to get out to go to the bathroom and to get back in where you were is almost impossible. Right. So, imagine how it is at a big concert like that. Like, how impossible it is sometimes, like, to find your way back in at that point. So, I wouldn't do it again. If it came to DC, I might, float around for a little bit. Right. But I don't know if I'd make the long haul again. It was a cool experience. And I look, waiting till the Dolphins pick in the top five, again, is. I mean, to say that, I'm kind of like rethinking that because it'll probably happen sooner or later, but
No,
we'll
no,
see.
no, no.
So what was the atmosphere like when Atlanta selected Michael Penix?
Oh, so it's yeah, the atmosphere. So the atmosphere was awesome, by the way. Like the Detroit, fans, love them or hate them. I don't really have a feeling either way,
Hey.
but they were awesome, man. A lot of like wows in the crowd, right? It was cool to hear the crowd reactions, right? They were just like, wow. But on top of that, though, one thing that was the best, I think, out of everything was they were showing a skit. And I guess they showed this on TV, right? Of Roger Goodell and Barry was in it. Do you guys remember that at all?
No.
I don't know if they showed it on TV, but anyway. You know how they always boo Roger when he comes out? Well, they gave it to him hard again this time, right? Hard. And they showed a skit right after, and it was like Roger and Barry, and I forget who else was in it, but every time Roger came on, they would be like, boo, right on this skit. And then Barry would pop up and they'd be like, yeah. Well, they were twitching so fast, the crowd was like, boo, yeah, right? Real quick. And so it was really funny, man. It was like that was probably the highlight of the crowd at that point. But a lot of Detroit, obviously, like probably like 90%. The Dolphins fans, I was probably like one of like 10 that I saw, probably total. Not a lot of diversity.
I can't imagine a lot of opposite fans wanting to go into that mess. It'll be few and far between because, you know, Detroit, especially now that they're winning, I feel like it'd be if they were still losing, I think it might be a little different. The fact that they're winning, they're good, their team is young. I mean, everything's just going positive. I think that brought a lot more out than what would have in the past.
No, for sure. And I think because, you know, I'm a Dolphins fan, right? We're far away from Detroit geographically and, you know, divisionally, right? And so, like, I wasn't walking in there in a Bears uniform, right? Or a Green Bay, right? So, you know, they don't mess with Dolphins fans, really. They probably like the Dolphins just because of Miami. But every time Packers or Bears or anybody picked, right, they were booing Caleb Williams like crazy when he got picked and anytime they saw him. So really homers, right, from the division standpoint too, in the atmosphere. It was cool, man. It'd be cool to, like, I think I would do it again, honestly, not D.C. I would do it if it was in Miami, I would go. And because it would be cool to just be around 80% Dolphins fans and be in the crowd that, like, if when they pick, it's cheers. And, you know, that I think that would be cool. But other than that, I'm out.
All right, so that last question before we jump into some of the later round draft guys. Yeah. With that many people, did you see any good fights? There had to be a fight or two break out somewhere, nothing?
Dude, you know, like, that's a good question, and we actually talked about this afterwards. We're like, we did not see anything.
That's crazy.
You know? We didn't see a fight, an argument between football. It was really it's I know, and I'm thinking about it again now, and it's like, it's really amazing because football is one of those things that'll start a fight anywhere. I mean, you see people fighting in the stands all the time now, more than ever, right? More than ever, right? Yep. And so, like, you would think you would see some, like, arguments, but everybody was chill, man. Everybody was in good mood. Everybody was getting along. It was all nothing. And, of course, so many people bumping into each other. You know, fights can start all kinds of ways, right? Especially when you're around a bunch of people like that. But really, we were around there for a long time, and I saw nothing, man. You know, nothing. Not anything. Not an argument.
They wouldn't punch each other. They would pee themselves.
It's true. I mean, I don't know. You that fight might go on for a long time, and who knows what would happen if a fight broke out. I mean,
gangbusters.
That's a pretty big bar fight happening. That could happen up in that place. So
I know I said last question, but this would be my last question. What was the woman population like? I mean, was it just like all dudes, or was, you know, there were some women, like, football fans in there?
Yeah,
it'd be hard for a woman in that mess.
No, for sure. There was a lot of women there, for sure. You know, obviously more men, right, in comparison. Yeah. But a lot of women, actually. I think the bad thing that overall that I would say was it was really difficult for the kids, right? Oh, yeah. Like, I think I don't – it was just, you know, I think it's kids get – you know, football – kids who are into football would get excited about the draft and think that's something cool when it's not a game. So there's more things to do, like, kids friendly, but there were so many people and it was so many lines for everything. It's really a parent and a kid's worst nightmare from that standpoint, because nobody wants to wait in a line with a kid. Right. And I mean, what do you do? I mean, you can't really do anything about that, I guess, but, you know, I thought that was not very favorable in that regard.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I don't know how much of, like, family thing that would really be, especially for the kids. All right. So, I mean, appreciate you, Dub, discussing that with us. I know DJ Dubs, myself, got a few guys we'd like to send your way, give us your opinion on them. Dub, you want to read them out?
Yeah, what we're going to do today is we're just going to hit some guys. Last week we did our two-round draft. This week we just throw out some random guys. They might be third. They might be fourth. They might be just names we're curious about what all the three of us think of. And I think Matt said he had a couple names as well. And we'll see what we get. We'll go probably about 10, 15 more minutes here as we do through this. So I'm going to start with out in San Diego, and I'm going to butcher. Kamani, is it Vidal or Vidal? How do you say his last name?
Vidal.
Out of Troy, coming to sort of a crap. Basically, he's going to be in the Baltimore Ravens backfield. So Harbaugh just gave Harbaugh all of his running backs. But they threw this guy into the backfield. Gus Edwards is a little long in the tooth. They're going to power him through. J.K. Dobbins, we don't know. you know, he just keeps pulling Achilles, Achilles, Achilles. But we got this kid coming in here at 20. He'll be 23 till the season starts, so he's a smidge older. Not awfully tall, but he's a bowling ball, 5'8", 213. He's a later round pick, so could he practice squad? There's a lot of traction on him. What do you all think of him as far as we're looking at, like, will he do anything this year, or is he a dynasty stash? Is he even worth a dart throw?
Go ahead, Matt. You can take this one first.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to tell, you know, with that backfield. I think it depends on Dobbins' health, obviously. I still think, you know, even J.K. Dobbins maybe at 75%, right, could take that over. But this guy's interesting for sure. You know, I always look at late-round dart throws or late-round running backs as their pathway to being a starter, right? Like, who's in their way? And so when you look who's in his way, I think there obviously is potential right there. There's some stuff to like already about his pathway to getting some touches, right? I don't think he's going to be a guy that ever gets, you know, that's ever going to get to that starting position or get all the touches. But in that offense, right, we've seen a guy like Austin Ekeler be what, you know, top three back for a long time. Right. And so it's a different offense, but still, I think Herbert and especially the quality of receivers they have right now, I think running backs are going to get a lot of touches on checkdowns and a lot of touches on that short yardage situation. So I think there's some interest here just because, and another thing I like here too is that, this running back class this year is terrible. So, like, you know, overall. So, like, I would rather have chances at the late round guys this year because I like some of their pathway to touches than I would some of the, you know, spending some of the quality picks on some of the guys that are there.
Yeah. So, the way I see it is when you're looking at running backs, you're looking for opportunity. And what you got here, I think you got clear opportunity. If he makes the team, I think that's a good enough reason for me to have him on my team. Because all you need is an injury here, an injury there. What if he is better than the last time we seen J.K. Dobbins, he was running with a limp. So we don't know how healthy J.K. – so he may never even play. I think this team is going to probably run more with Harbaugh. There's going to be a lot of ground and pound. I know they got Gus Edwards, and he's always been good. But I don't know how much longer he can be like the guy. And if they're going to run this much, I think there's going to be plenty of carries to go around. And like, I like his size. I think he's able to be a goal line back at certain opportunities. And plus he can be like, you know, between the 20s as well. So I think he's worth the shot to put on at least your taxi squad. I mean, so there's, like I said, you're just looking for opportunity. I think in this backfield, in this offense, I think there's going to be plenty of opportunity.
Well, let's add 3 pounds, move to Buffalo, and go with a guy who is very intriguing. His name would be Raymond Walter Jamar Davis. That's his entire name. I was like, we know him as Ray Davis. And he popped up. I'm like, I got to say his entire name. It's R-A-apostrophe-M-A-H-N, Walter Zamar, Z-H-A-M-A-R, Jamar Davis. I'm like, I just want a jersey that says Walter Zamar Jamar Davis to put on the – just to see if they can put all that on the back of his jersey. But he's basically 3 more pounds. But he seems to have – he's got an interesting Josh Allen problem because he could – if Josh Allen runs less, he could fit right into being the Thunder to James Cook's Lightning, keep Cook healthy. And you got – I mean the measuring stick these days – In these days, it would be the old Saints backfield. You had Kamara, who was catching all the balls, which Cook could do, and then you had Ingram, which could be the Ray Davis role. But once again, Boulder ball a little bit later out of Kentucky. What do y'all think about that guy?
So the way I see it, I think it just maintains James Cook's status and just where he is. I don't think he can be like that elite running back. I think this takes away from some of that. But then again, I think Josh Allen takes away from some of that as well. And I think Ray Davis can fit in. He can be that banger back because, of course, they're not going to use Cook for that. But like I said, this is just like the LA thing with Vidal. I mean, the opportunities here, if he's on the team, I think he's going to get opportunity. Now, what's his ceiling if he's not getting touchdowns? I don't think there is very much. I think he's going to be very touchdown reliant, and we all know what Josh Allen does around the goal line.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say, like, he's going to be 25 when they start the
that's
season.
True too.
Right?
Yeah, that's
Right.
true too.
I mean, he's got like 4 years. Hold on. He's got like 2.5, 3 years to get something done, right? Already before he's already like old as a running back. So I just don't, this guy, I mean, I think he's got talent. He's also injury prone. Like, this guy has been banged up already in college. I don't know about him. I'm stay away from Ray Davis. I think to what JJ Wang just said about Josh Allen by the goal line, it'll kill anybody. Like, it's gonna kill James Cook. Like, so if it's killing James Cook, it's gonna kill Ray Davis, no matter when it is. And I just don't like the fact that James Cook sometimes is dominant, right? Not all the time, but I do think we always say, well, they're gonna give this guy carries because they're gonna take the weight off of James Cook. It always comes down to like what's happening in the game, and so that's not always guaranteed either, right? And so I'm just not. I would rather probably take a Vidal over Davis, just because I think that the scheme and what we talked about running the ball a lot, there's more chances of opportunities.
All right, absolutely. I would much rather fight Gus Edwards for carries than James Cook. I think James Cook is more of your RB1 type. I think you can take over for Gus Edwards. So yeah.
Well, yeah, you're not only fighting James Cook, you fight Josh Allen. Like you're the third running. You're the third running back. Yeah, essentially,
So we were talking about Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. They're gone. In comes Derrick Henry, but also in comes Rasheen Ali, 5'11", 209, coming to the Ravens out of Marshall, Randy Moss's stomping grounds. I'll have to talk about, I don't know if anybody's seen the Tom Brady roast. I've watched bits and pieces. That's Randy Moss's killing me. He's like, give me a ring, Tom. But he's coming into a situation where there's a couple of guys there, you know, nobody really worried. I mean, Derrick Henry's old as dirt, but they're going to run the snot out of him. I think he's got another year or two in him. Are you willing to throw this dart?
So I really like Rasheen Ali, so I'm going to let Matt go on this one first.
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, go ahead. I don't really have a lot of information on him. So if you really like him, go ahead and
hit so it up. While I was doing my awesome tape reviewing, watching these guys play on the field, I mean, he looked solid. I mean, he had a season where he got injured, but he come back and he performed well, and he's averaging 6 yards a carry, gets a lot of touchdowns. I know touchdowns don't translate, but when you score a lot of touchdowns in college, I mean, it just, he's got a nose for the end zone. So yeah. So what he's going up with here is, I know there's not opportunity like front and center. We all know Derrick Henry's a beast of a man. He usually plays, you know, every game. He does get injured from time to time, but as far as what's behind Derrick Henry, I'm not even sure what's behind Derrick Henry at this moment, but if Rasheen Ali
is Mitchell.
Keaton Mitchell, yeah.
Yeah, Mitchell.
So he performed okay as a backup role. But if this guy gets on the field with any opportunity, that's all it's going to take. I think he can outperform Keaton Mitchell as far as, like, running backs go. I know Keaton Mitchell's, like, a good receiving back, third down back. I'm not going to say Rasheen Ali is going to come in and take over all the carries. But we don't know how much longer Derrick Henry has. So, I mean, even if it's not this year – I think he's still worth having on your roster at some point for the opportunity when Derrick Henry moves on. Because if Derrick Henry does fall off at all this year, I can't imagine Baltimore being too interested in bringing him back. And then he can step into plenty of opportunities. So, yeah, it's definitely a dart throw, but I think it's one I would take.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, it's any running back, I think, in Baltimore is a good dart throw, right? So, I mean – Derrick Henry's age, obviously, right? Again, it reminds me of Buffalo, though, still, right, with Lamar Jackson. He around the goal line, another running back sometimes. It takes away carries from the running backs. And so he's going to have to prove, like, you know, obviously with these dart throws too, we always say they got to make the team first, right? But if he can get that slot right there and battle Mitchell, right? But be more of that inside the 20s kind of guy that brings that. Because these young guys, they always bring that quick juice, right? That speed. You're like, oh, he looks good, right? Like, oh, he looks faster than Derrick Henry. Oh, he, why don't they play him more, right? He could be that kind of guy. Once you do that, you start to implement yourself. So, I mean, you know, he's got to do that right away, and he's got to beat Keaton Mitchell to those touches because otherwise he's going to get drowned out probably.
Oh yeah, I mean he definitely has a chance of not getting his carries, but I think if there's just certain teams where you want certain aspects of the game, it's kind of like the 49ers. You kind of want the 49ers running backs, right? No matter who it is,
Yeah.
or even your Dolphins. You kind of want a Dolphins running back because they all perform. And I think Baltimore is the same way. It seems like every running back that gets an opportunity does kind of perform well, and that's kind of what I'm looking at here.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree with that. And I think, you know, what you're looking at nowadays, especially if they add another game here to the schedule, is you're looking at injuries, right? You know, because you're looking at longevity. Like these guys aren't playing full seasons anymore. So opportunity is knocking more often now for these backs and these players than they were previously because guys just don't play a whole season. There's, you know, it's the whole Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe thing, right? Like back in the day, right? Like you didn't see as many long-term injuries where guys would come in and replace guys because they've been hurt, right? You see that so much more now, I feel like, because guys are hurt all the time.
All the time.
Especially running backs with the pounding, but yeah, it's and I mean, you looked at what Tajae Sharpe. I mean, he still had decent tread this year, so it could be a possibility that they're like, "Hey, Henry is older. We need to, for fantasy purposes, they could give these other guys some runs because they didn't get Derrick Henry to play the first 17 games of the year. They know they're going to the playoffs. They're a good squad, so they got him for December and January. So they're. Derrick Henry, he might get 20 touchdowns and 800 yards, and they'll be like, "Hey, cool." I mean, he'll still do more, I think. But they'll sprinkle these other guys in because they realize that they need a healthy running back going in, and that will be a good heading into the next. I got a real quick. This will be a quick hit, to be honest, probably because JJ Wang hates him. There were a bunch of quarterbacks that went in the first round, and then nobody really, and then Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler to New Orleans is a polarizing guy. I mean, dude's been in college since. I mean, aren't there like three guys who are on their second contracts since he's been in college? Like, he got moved around so much. They're looking like Hurts and all those guys. Ended up in South Carolina. Got drafted by the Saints. He's behind Derek Carr, whose contract I think is 2 or 3 more years. But he didn't look anything impressive. And I mean, after what he did with Russell Wilson, if this guy comes in and shows what do you think of Rattler? What are the percentages that in a year they Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, if he stinks this year?
Go ahead, Matt.
You know,
I
Spencer
said
Rattler
polarizing.
is probably, you know, what's interesting about the quarterbacks in general is I think we're away from like seeing quarterbacks drafted every round. I think you're going to see a pile of them in the first round and then the rest sprinkled in fifth, sixth, seventh round. I think all the mid ones are gone now because I think people are starting to figure out, look, just take your chances, get two or three early or get them early while you can and just hopefully it works, right? But in regards to Rattler, like it's interesting because this guy was like the guy back in 2020. He was like the guy, guys. He was like a number one draft pick. Like he's like Caleb Williams now, right? And Caleb Williams actually took his job, right? And that's why he started bouncing around everywhere and he started like, but he kind of bounced back, right? And I mean, like he bounced back. I mean, at one point, I'm like, this guy's not even gonna get drafted now. Like that is crazy. But he bounced back, and I don't know, man. You have to be really special to be 6 foot and play quarterback in the NFL. Like special, like you have to have something about you. Like, and I think they're trying to find. They're maybe thinking he has that special ability. Maybe if he sets for a couple years, right? And maybe it's the old like, hopefully, because I think people are realizing with quarterbacks they need to do that with some guys, especially when you draft them late. Like, let them set. Don't be throwing them out there, of course. And I don't think he will be anyway, but he's interesting. I would like to say that he could be decent. Will he ever be great? No, right? Like, he'll never be great because 6 foot in the NFL as a quarterback, you have to have something special about you. And I just don't think. I just don't think he does at the end of the day, right? I think he's got good talent, but I just don't think he's special in any way.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, I'm not going to sit here and say I hope he fails it anyway. I was not so watching the combat. So the first time I've really seen him, like, I was watching the combat, and then I kind of went back and kind of watched his game. Like, his arm strength really wasn't all that, right? So if you go back and watch his film, he's kind of underthrowing guys. You know, he can scramble a little bit, but it's like Matt brought up. He's 6 foot. So, I mean, you either got to be really, really fast and have a really, really strong arm to make it at that point. And I don't think he just has neither one. So, kudos to him for building his career back up, first off, because I didn't think he would even make it this far. So, he's already proven me wrong once. Can he prove me wrong again? I guess there's an opportunity. I think he'll get a chance to play at some point. I think Derek Carr is absolutely awful. I think if they start winning, do you think if they're losing, do you think it's crazy that they just bring Rattler in and be like, hey man, have fun?
They would have to be bad, and it'll have to be like only like 2 or 3 games left. Otherwise, I think it would be insanity. Yes, because it might get a lot worse. That's how coaches get fired. I don't think Pierce is going to jeopardize that for Spencer Rattler. But, you know, maybe. I don't see it happening.
But if you're coming into the season as Spencer Rattler as your number two, and you know Derek Carr is your number one, aren't you asking to be fired?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation for sure. I mean, you got to play the cards that you got, right, with Derek Carr. But, I mean, Spencer, I mean, none of those guys can be your savior, right? But I will say, look, if they can ride a little of that momentum that he brought there last year, you know, and you know, who, I don't see them being any better than like 8 and 9, right? Around that 7 and 10, even in a bad division, right? Because they can never win the big games, it seems like. So Derek Carr can't for sure. Spencer Rattler is not going to be able to either. So,
who plays first, Michael Penix or Spencer Rattler? I think they both start a game at some point. Who plays a game? Who starts a game first?
Man, that's, you know, that's funny because it's so hard because I have to think about it. When you think about injury right now with Cousins, right, and so that's hard. Like actually gets on the field, like for an actual, like something that matters. Is that what you're asking?
They start a game, maybe because
I mean, outside of injury for me, I want to say Penix because God, I just don't think you can start Spencer Rattler in the with any inside of anything of 3 years and feel good about it.
He looks like Patrick Mahomes though.
Yeah, well, he doesn't. He better hope like he plays like Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, we're going to do 2 more guys here. Mine's a quick – this will be a quick hit, then we're close on a guy that J.J. Wang wants to talk about. Cade Stover down in Houston. Houston's locked and loaded with receivers. They got Dalton Schultz there at tight end. What are the chances that C.J. Stroud's college tight end sneaks up there and is anything more than just a name from the past for C.J. Stroud?
I mean, for tight end, I think this is probably one of those tight ends where, you know, back in the day where they was like, hey, you know, tight ends need 3 years or, you know, 2 years. I think that's probably the case here. I know they got Dalton Schultz and they still got my boy,
Brevin Jordan.
Basketball player.
I mean, he shows flashes from time to time. I wait for him to break out. I don't think it's going to happen. But yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, he's a tight end, so I'm not going to say nothing's impossible because these guys come out of nowhere sometimes, but I think we got a little longer of a wait here, especially with this offense trying to win now. I don't think they're trying to bring in a tight end that's going to be much of an impact to the offense.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And I think that if you look at, even if Dalton Schultz got hurt, let's say he was the number two, right, I still don't see any value here, even in that situation. So to me, that's like, You know, if you could keep a guy on the taxi squad for 3 years, and that would be cool, then that might be your guy here, right, for that. But otherwise, I mean, I don't see this guy going from a taxi squad to your lineup within 2 years, right? And so if that's the case, you know, what's the point of having him if that's the way you're thinking, right?
Okay, JJ Wang, close out with the last guy. I was higher on him. Now I want nothing to do with him. So go for it.
Yeah, so that, a lot of people have seem to feel that way, but I mean, there's still a piece of me that might, you know, still want an opportunity to take him. That's A.D. Mitchell. I think, you know, coming before the draft, coming into it, I mean, he was projected to be like that fourth, fifth, sixth running back right there with Brian Thomas and Xavier Worthy, but that completely went by the wayside. Evidently, he doesn't interview very well. He's a pretty eccentric kind of guy, doesn't like to listen. And that kind of in the NFL doesn't bode well. But even with all that, he still went, was it pick 52, I think, at the bottom of the second round. So, I mean, he still got second round draft capital with all that baggage coming in. Now, he went to the Colts, so I know he's not going to be the number one. I know they still got Pierce. Then they got, was it Josh Downs? Was that the one that, who went, or was it Hot?
Yeah,
Josh Downs. So I don't necessarily they need him right away, but he's big, he's athletic. I think if they can get his mind or whatever his issues under control, and they can get him to listen a little bit, I think they might have a steal because you're not asking a whole lot from the guy to start out with. They've got Michael Pittman. And that's pretty much all they're going to need with Anthony Richardson at this point because they're not going to be throwing a lot. So I still like the guy. He still went in the second round. So I still think you got to have him on your team.
Yeah, it depends on where at, right, in the draft, I think is important because, you know, you don't want to reach for this guy, I don't think. He's not a reachable guy where you're like, hey, I see a lot of upside quick with him, right, to get him on your team because, as you said, they're going to run the ball a lot, right? Even Richardson, again, going back to the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson thing is becoming consistent, right? Like, but one thing you do have, I think, to your point of draft capital is draft capital usually leads to opportunity. Right, because they're not going to just set the second rounder on the bench and be like, oh well, you know, he's so as long as he doesn't mess up, right? He doesn't do anything stupid. He doesn't pull a Rice on us all and start, you know,
That's true. That would say
going
funny.
crazy, right? But no, I do like him. I do, and I think he's gonna be one of those like boom or bust guys,
Hard.
right? Because I do think he can like get that second. If he can build chemistry with Richardson early, I do think he can start, you know, getting stealing targets from Downs and then overpass him over time. But again, I think he's the one where you kind of stash away, knowing it's gonna be maybe the 3rd year before you start really getting what you thought you would get out of him at any point, right?
I think Pierce is the guy who hurts because Downs is the slot, and I don't see them putting him in the slots. That could be the.
Yeah, I definitely think
Yeah.
he can never pierce his job. Definitely.
It's
And
not
Pierce
terrible.
did flash a little bit.
He did.
He's gonna
That's
take
why I sold
Pierce's
you. That's
job
why
for
that's why
sure.
I'm down.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like second round draft capital, they're gonna move him in. What? All right, so back up. They're at least gonna give him the shot to take the position. Now, whether he
Yeah.
does or not, that's a different story, of course.
There you go. So there we have it. Some of our late round guys. We'll be highlighting some other guys as we go through it. Don't forget, I haven't. It's been a long week, so eventually I'll get back to the fantasycouriers.com website. Just little simple things on there and dink and dunk rookie references and the rookie rankings and just links to everything. If you're trying to find out where in the world you can find our handsome mugs, go for it. Thanks to Draft Day Matt. Sounds like you had an awesome time at the draft. Would you recommend if anybody is this a once in a lifetime, you should at least go, right?
Correct. Yeah, you should at least go once in your lifetime if you're an NFL fan. I think it's cool. Make sure your team has the number one pick though.
It's a long night.
You know what they, you know one thing when you sit there, you're like, after all this waiting, you're like, if they trade this damn pick, I'm gonna be pissed now, right? Like, I'm gonna be pissed.
Yeah, makes sense. JJ Wang, give us some wisdom to go out on this week.
My words of wisdom, I'm gonna ask a question to Matt real quick. I know you watch a lot of college football, you watch a lot of SEC. We all know my feelings on Bo Nix. I think he's no good. What is your thoughts on Bo Nix? Where are you at?
I actually like Bo Nix.
Oh my God. Oh, there's
Yeah,
guys.
baby.
But I don't think Bo Nix is like I don't think Bo Nix is the it's it I like him and I think he's gonna be okay, right? But I don't think again, I don't think he's gonna be great, right? Like I think he's
Is he Derek Carr?
maybe, yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's like these guys, especially Bo Nix. See, Bo Nix to me is not a first round quarterback. So number one, right now, I think we put
Too much pressure.
number one like expectations on Bo Nix already. And I already think here we go again because we're gonna make these guys fail already because that's not what should happen. But like I said earlier, they're so top heavy on quarterbacks, which I can understand because you got to find that guy if you're gonna
You
do
gotta
anything
get
in the
one.
NFL. You gotta find him or you're gonna suck, right? And so that's why you see such of that big spread. So I understand the pick, but Bo Nix is not a first round quarterback. Bo Nix is like a second or third round quarterback. And so those are the expectations you should have for Bo Nix, is what I'm going to say.
Yes, yeah, so there you have it from our core. Oh, go ahead, real
I was going
quick.
to say, JJ Wang, just an old reference for you. All you got to do is believe. That's all. Neat.
Well, we're going to be Bo leaving here pretty soon because he's supposed to be debuting out here on wrestling real quick. So we need to make that happen.
Dude,
Yeah, so
Bo Nix and Bo Believe, that
that
might
would
be a
be
thing in
awesome.
the hey, that might be a thing in the NFL coming soon.
He'll be in the
Coming
faction
soon.
too.
That's what I'm saying. Just wait. Just wait. You might be hating some Bo Believe here soon.
I mean, I'm not gonna say it's not possible. I know Sean Payton's a good coach. I mean, he's gonna get a chance to start right away. So I mean, I'll grab him somewhere just so I can say, hey, I had him on my team. I was smart enough to draft him, right? But yeah, so I would appreciate Matt coming on, our careers correspondent at Ground Zero for the draft. I know it had to be fun. So yeah, as always, trust yourself and trust the process.